we're back with All Our Babies radio show. This is a virtual gathering place to discuss pregnancy, birth, and early parenting with Anishinaabe community members, birth workers, and keepers of First Nation traditional knowledge about birth. I'm Kristen Tarleton, and I'm here today with Shannon Edberg and Meg Babylon. Meg, would you please introduce yourself?
Well, some people know me as Meg Babylon, but my name is actually really Meg Novak. I am a CPM, which is a certified professional midwife, which means that I help people have their babies at home or in a freestanding birth center.
Meg has been your midwife for previous births, and you chose to work with her again. Tell me about the kind of maternity care she provides for you and why you prefer it.
Actually, she was my doula for two different births, and then Meg went to school and graduated and has just recently got her degree in with her CPM and midwifery studies. So previously she was my doula, and the kind of care that she provided for me was really amazing, wonderful. What was it all about? It was about woman-to-woman care and building the relationship and building trust so that when I'm at my most vulnerable, which is in labor and birth, the person that I trust the most is right there telling me what's going on, what's going to happen next. Really, it was the relationship building that was the most amazing part of the maternity care that she provided. Why would you prefer that? Why would you prefer building a relationship with trust? Well, I think that goes back to our values. What we want to have in our lives as women and birthing our babies and birthing our babies into communities where all our babies are cared for by all the people who come to our births.
So Shannon and I have kind of a unique relationship because her birth, the first birth I went to with her was the first birth I ever attended as a doula. And that was, what, 9 years ago now?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then with the second birth I attended with Shannon, it was the first time I had been more involved than just kind of observing at a home birth. Interestingly enough, her baby was born during a blizzard. So the midwife got there at the very last minute, so I ended up doing a lot more than I thought I would end up doing. But I feel like every birth I've done with Shannon has kind of marked a turning point in my development as a birth professional. And even just providing prenatal care for Shannon, for this baby, it's been so amazing to have the other babies in the room who I was there to help welcome into the world. And it really feels like community midwifery, which is taking care of people within my community, helping them build strong families. I'm really honored to be able to be at Shannon's birth again.
Meg, so you're a certified professional midwife. Can you tell us more about your work?
Sure. So certified professional midwives, like I said previously, can help families have babies either at home, which is what I do, or in a freestanding birth center. There's a few freestanding birth centers in the Twin Cities. I just do home birth. We do, as Shannon was explaining, is we spend 9 months building a relationship with the family, with everybody in the family, with the birthing person, with their partner if they have one, anybody else who's going to be there, their children, so that when the baby is born, there's an atmosphere of trust instead of an atmosphere of fear, which is what I feel like happens in the hospital a lot. We provide prenatal care and birth accompaniment for people who are having a normal, low-risk pregnancy, which means there are certain complications where a person would be better cared for in a hospital. But really, I feel like the majority of birthing people are able to have their babies at home with midwives. And this is something that's being supported by many other studies that are going on. And I feel like what's really unique about it is just the relationship building. Prenatal appointments are 45 minutes to an hour long. You spend most of that time getting to know each other and, like I said, building a relationship of trust. And then, you know, you have your baby at home and you go to sleep in your own bed afterwards and you don't have people poking and prodding you all the time. Midwives really learn to trust women and that they know their bodies best and that the people that are going to be caring for this child for the rest of their life are the experts on that baby. I mean, we do some things like we can do blood draws and test for gestational diabetes and stuff like that. Like I said, as long as it's within the purview of a low-risk pregnancy, then it's safe and I feel like really beneficial for people to use midwives.
And you work with another midwife too, right? You back each other up. Mm-hmm. What is that like?
Different midwives do that differently. Some people have partnerships where there are two midwives that work together all the time. I am a solo practice, so I invite a midwife to accompany me to the birth because I feel like it's safer and better for everybody to have two midwives there. It's also really good to have another midwife to consult with about anything that might happen during the pregnancy or during the birth. Just to have another set of hands there, but also to have another, you know, another brain in on it to talk about what's going on. Yeah, I don't ever go to births alone. It's pretty rare for midwives to do that.
You said that you were a doula for Shannon's previous birth and now you're a midwife. So could you help us understand the difference between what a doula does and what a midwife does during the birth?
Sure. So doula's job is to provide physical and emotional comfort measures. A doula could be utilized in a hospital, at home, at a birth center. Usually there's a doula there plus the care provider. So midwives are care providers. I would actually help Shannon physically deliver her baby, or if she needed a shot afterwards or something, I do those kinds of things as well. It's a heightened level of responsibility. I think that doulas are really, really important, and I think that all women who are having babies should have a doula, whether you're having a home birth, working with a midwife, whatever, because it's just another level of care. The midwife is really kind of the guardian, and we're watching to make sure mom and baby are doing well. We've had enough training that we can tell if things are looking like they're not going well and we might need to do something else. And we're responsible for keeping the mom and baby safe during the birth. The doula is more there as a support person.
I want to say that I've been kind of explaining it like the midwife knows the science behind the birth too.
Mm, yeah.
And then the doula is there to support the family and especially the mom in labor with things that might not be so super scientific, more mm-hmm. emotional support or physical support.
Yeah.
So you've been working together throughout this pregnancy. How often have you been doing like checkups? And during those checkups, what are you paying the most attention to?
How often have we been doing checkups, Shannon? Far too often.
We did checkups once a month for many months, and then once every other week for a month. And then when the baby is now getting closer, the due date is upcoming this week. So we've been doing appointments every single week.
Yeah, every single week. We monitor the mom's basic vitals, things like blood pressure, stuff like that. There are certain things that we look out for in pregnancy. Like I said, we do gestational diabetes testing. We monitor the baby, make sure the baby's heart rate is within the range of normal. Just looking for any signs that something might be no longer low risk. And then if that was to happen, we would consult with either a hospital midwife or an OBGYN so that the family could get the care that they need. And usually, you know, everything goes fine and there's no problems with it. I feel like one thing that's really unique about midwifery care is that we spend a lot of time talking about diet and exercise and emotional wellness in a way that doesn't happen often in hospital births. So I feel like that really empowers women to be in charge of their own healthcare. And my hope as a midwife is that that empowerment then translates into their motherhood as well.
With all of the appointments that we have between the pregnant mom and the midwife, one of my favorite parts is, I believe it's called palpating.
Mm-hmm.
Palpating yep. the uterus, right?
Yeah.
And then, so what Meg will do is feel around my belly and then feel for little bumps or what are you feeling for exactly?
You feel for where the head is at, where the butt is at, where the back is at. And then, you know, I call it the little bits, the hands and the feet.
The little bits, that's right. And then she'll ask me, where do I feel all the movement of the feet or the hands or the big movements? And then Meg can figure out what position the baby is in, which is always a favorite of mine to make sure that I hear what the baby is doing and I can kind of imagine it.
Mm-hmm. We make an educated guess.
Oh, it's not 100% perfect.
No, it's 100%.
It's an edumacated guess.
Yeah.
Meg, what types of guidance or advice have you been giving Shannon to support her during your pregnancy? You just mentioned like diet, exercise type things, but what other types of advice?
Well, I mean, Shannon's kind of an expert. She's done this a few times, and I feel like she's a really confident pregnant woman and a really confident birther as well from what I've seen. And we, like I said, we have a very, over a 10-year relationship now. So I feel like we're pretty comfortable with one another as well. But, you know, talking about any emotional stress that might be going on, making a plan postpartum, I think that's something that families often forget, is how much your life changes when there's a new human in it, and making a plan to be well cared for and to have food available or delivered by friends or whatever, so that in the beginning the family can just spend time together and bond and work on breastfeeding. So of course the normal eating healthy, drinking lots of water, trying to get moderate exercise every day, that kind of stuff. So yeah.
One thing that Meg talks to me a lot about is also making sure that I take my medicine, which is herbal medicines, and my prenatal vitamin. One of the herbal medicines that I'm taking has to do with high blood pressure. So Meg asks me every single visit if I'm taking my medicines and my vitamins to make sure that that also is a part of my nutrition and the baby's nutrition.
Mm-hmm. And it's working, which is great.
It is working.
Yeah. Yep.
Instead of getting on drugs, like high blood pressure drugs or whatever the whole hospital system or OBGYN system would have you be doing. Or I even had an OBGYN one time tell me they would just ignore it until after the baby was born anyway, so we're not even going to really talk much about it. But Meg doesn't do that. We actually talk about, you know, blood pressure and talk about the medicines that I'm taking, the natural medicines, plant medicine.
Yeah, and one of the things that I feel is really great about herbal medicine is that people can actually get to know about it. I feel like when you're given a pill by a doctor, it's just this mysterious thing that came from a laboratory somewhere. Shannon might know a little bit more about it because she's a science teacher, but for most people, it's just this kind of foreign thing that then you're introducing into your body. But with herbal medicine, you can actually get to know the plant, get to know, you know, what it looks like, what it smells like, what it tastes like, what it's about, how it helps you. That kind of stuff. So, and again, I my hope with that is that then that translates into the birthing parents the rest of their life, that they're like, oh, these herbs work during pregnancy when I couldn't take anything else, so maybe I should try it when I'm not pregnant too.
Meg, you noted the strength that you've seen in Shannon in previous births. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like? How you see her strength and how that comes into her idea of herself as a birthing woman?
The first birth I went to with Shannon was her first unmedicated birth. She had had one birth before that where she had had an epidural. So that was something that we talked about quite a bit. And it was actually quite a stressful hospital environment where there was some bad stuff going on. But despite all that, Shannon was able to keep her cool and had her baby completely naturally. And I hope at least some element of that was able to keep some of the birth that she wanted. And then with her second birth, I feel like Shannon's a natural birther. She goes inward. It's obvious that her and the baby are communicating. She's pretty calm. Not that you have to be calm during birth, but I think that having been with Shannon at a few births, to me, she kind of epitomizes if you are comfortable with your body, comfortable with pregnancy as a normal part of a person's wellness cycle, not as a pathology or something that's wrong with you. You're comfortable with letting go of control during birth and letting your body do what it needs to do, that you can have, it's not like birth is intense, but you can still have really great empowering experiences while birthing your baby.
And to add all that too is the care that you receive and trusting the person that's there to help you, which is you, Meg.
Aww. Meg, we're to the song dedication part of this segment. Is there a song you'd like to dedicate to someone?
Yes, I would like to dedicate Strange Arithmetic by The Coup to Shannon. This song is about teachers, and Shannon is an awesome radical teacher who's trying to make education better for kids all over the Twin Cities, so the song goes out to her.
Taught me some strange arithmetic. Using swords, prison bars, and pistol grips. English is the art of bombing towns while assuring that you really only bless the ground. Science is the honorable, beautiful study where you contort the molecules and then you make that money. In mathematics, dead children don't get at it, but they count across the bullets coming out the automatic. And I'm teaching my hands up. Please don't make me a bitch. mother. Please don't make me a victim. Teach, stand up. Tell us how to flip this system. Stop. Economics is a symphony of hunger and theft. Mortar shells often echo out the cashing of checks. In geography classes, borders, mountains, and rivers, but they will never show the line between the takers and givers. Algebra is that unique occasion in which a school can say that there should be a balanced equation. And then statistics is the tool of the complicit to say everybody's with it, and you're the only critic, and I'm teaching. My hands up, please don't make me a victim. Tell us how to flip this system. Teach my hands up. Please don't make me a victim. Teach, stand up. Tell us how to flip this system. Move. Social studies is the Goliath. Which turns into a sermon on simplicity of shackles. Physics is the school you own a science course, except for how to get the f*** out the ghetto, of course. Home ec can teach you how to make a few sauces and accept low pay from your Walmart bosses. If your school won't teach you how to fight for what's needed, they're teaching you to go through life and get cheated. And I'm teacher, my hands up. Please don't make me a victim. Stand up, you need to tell us how to flip this system. Teach, my hands up. Please don't make me a victim. Teach, stand up. You need to tell us how to flip this system, bro.
To original programming on KKWE 89.9 FM, White Earth Community Radio. Here we are again with All Our Babies Radio Show. Tonight we're with Shannon Edberg and Meg Novak. And Shannon is very close to having a baby. She's sharing some stories with us about that. Shannon, what are your views on access to a variety of maternity care providers? Should women have access to the care provider of their choice, whether they be midwives, nurse midwives, physicians?
I think that the common practice is to go get a MD, a doctor. That's what you see people doing. That's what you see people doing on TV. And so people think that that is their first and only choice, which is absolutely and completely not true. I know, I went that route with my first baby, went to an MD, and it ended up working out fine. Now that I've had the care of midwives and nurse midwives, I don't think that I would ever go back to seeing an MD unless I was forced to with the extenuating circumstances in pregnancy. I think that if we're going to normalize midwifery care, more people need to tell their stories. More people need to get out there and talk about their experiences. More people need to get out there and talk about the home birth that they've had.
Well, I think this is really a question of normalizing birth. I don't think of pregnancy and birth as a pathology. I don't think of it as a disease or a medical condition that needs treatment. I feel like it's part of the normal wellness cycle of a birthing person's life, meaning that it's something that happens that needs some special care or special observation would be the right word. People who are pregnant need special observation. They need somebody checking on them to make sure that everything's okay. But in the large majority of cases, everything is usually just fine. And I think that we've been doing this experiment of having babies in the hospital for a relatively short period of time, which is about 60 years in the United States. And it's not going so hot. The treatment that many, many people get in the hospital in many cases is not empowering. And if you look at our C-section rate in this country, which is about 35% nationally, I find it really hard to believe that up until recently, women were able to birth their babies naturally, but all of a sudden there's some kind of crisis in pelvic disproportion or something that necessitates that many cesarean sections. What I hear from a lot of people is, well, at least the mom and baby are healthy. And I really feel like we should be holding ourselves to a higher standard than that. Meaning that being pregnant and having a baby should be a positive, transformative, empowering part of a family's life. And I feel like all people can have that experience. One of the biggest questions I feel like right now is access, meaning that the price of home birth is out of range for many, many people. Many midwives try to circumvent that by doing bartering or scheduling out the payments longer or reducing their fee. But to me, the real answer is for medical assistance to also pay for home birth. And I feel like until that comes into place, which there are people actively working in Minnesota to make that happen, that there will never be equal access for people. I also want to just mention that birth outcomes for both moms and babies who are African American and Native American are far, far worse than they are for white moms. And so I feel like the crisis that we have in maternity care in this country is felt most especially by women of color. And I think that midwifery care has a big role in changing that.
Something I was thinking when you were talking about midwifery care compared to a pathology, when you go to an MD and when you go to a hospital, that's something that's happening to you and you're passive in the process. Whereas when you're planning your home birth, when your midwife is coming to your house, you're active in the process of the pregnancy and labor and delivery. And that's the empowering part of having a baby at home or having a midwife. And it's also the messages that you hear from the people around you that empower you.
Yeah.
Telling you that you're strong, telling you that you can do it. And it feels different when somebody is in your space, in your home, saying you're strong, you can do this, you have this, your body knows what to do, because our bodies have always known what to do, how to have babies.
I saw this thing on Facebook like yesterday or today that said we need to talk about our positive birth stories, and I thought that was really true, because you hear a lot of horror stories, but you don't hear a lot of like, I had a wonderful birth experience, whether it was in the hospital or at home. I feel like a lot of times birthing parents almost feel like there's a martyrdom or a heroism, when my hope is that everybody can just have a smooth, empowering, wonderful birth, which means different things for different people. I feel like sharing those stories is really important. And again, coming back to normalizing birth, that this should not be something that people are terrified of doing. Everybody has their worries and is watchful during pregnancy for sure, but walking into it feeling like, yes, I can do this, this can be a positive experience, I can come out of this a stronger person, I feel like that should be the norm, which right now it really isn't.
I'm just going to tell one really quick story about something that was empowering in my Blizzard baby's birth. When the midwife finally got to our house, because she arrived just like moments before the baby, my baby, was out of my body, her phone started ringing. I said, get that thing off. I don't want to hear it. I don't remember my exact words. But for me to be able to tell the midwife, you know, you cannot have that on, that can't be in my space right now, was really empowering to me. Let's say I'd been in a hospital, they have all kinds of beeping machines. You can't say, just turn that off. So I got to make the call the shots about what's happening in my space, which was very empowering for me.
One of the things I really love about doing home births is not having to disturb the mom and baby right after birth. Mom gets to hold baby. You can delay the cord clamping it for as long as you want. And I feel like those first moments when the baby is making transition into this consciousness, into this world, when they start to breathe, when they start to look around and recognize the parents whose voices they've heard this entire time, I feel like that's such a critical bonding time, and that the baby so desperately needs to be on the body of the person that gave birth to them. And that just kind of undisturbed moment, it's very spiritual and beautiful to me. Also, I feel like that has such an effect on the mom and baby's bonding
but also just on the babies coming into consciousness in this world. And I really appreciate being able to do that with midwifery care and just like watching that new family member come into the family.
So that beautiful kind of a birth experience that you just described, that kind of bonding and that sort of spiritual level experience, do you think that affects the infant's health? Also, that infant as it grows up, do you think it affects their health to have that good experience?
I do. You know, there's also scientific studies showing that babies that are born by cesarean have more respiratory problems. You know, there's a whole slew of medical problems that come along with not being pushed out of the vagina. When babies are pushed out of the vagina, their lungs are squeezed to help them start breathing. They're exposed to the bacteria in the mom's vagina. So there's just this whole slew of things that scientifically happen when a baby's not born vaginally.
I just recently read an article too that said that the adult people who were born via cesarean also have health problems. So not just the babies, but adults too.
Yeah. Cesareans are necessary sometimes and are life-saving sometimes. And there's actually a hospital in the Twin Cities called St. Joe's that has a very low cesarean rate. And I feel like that's a place where things are being done the way they should. Like, cesareans are being used for what they're designed for, which is life-saving emergencies. So I don't want it to sound like I don't think they're ever necessary. However, I do think both for medical health or physical health and also emotional and spiritual health of the entire family, it makes a difference what kind of birth experience you have. For so many people who are going into hospitals and having actual birth trauma and walking away from their birth with that, I mean, you have to think about how that affects both the physical and the emotional health of the family as well. I also don't want to make it sound like every home birth is perfect, because that's also not true. But I do feel like one generality I can make about home birth is that there's a completely different kind of relationship between the care provider, the midwife, and the person having the baby. That I feel like even if it's not this perfect, wonderful, beautiful, calm, coming into consciousness of the baby, that having that relationship totally strengthens the experience.
How do you think we can achieve better births at the community level? What can communities do to build a more supportive culture around birth? What examples have you seen of either community members doing that work or groups of people supporting better births together?
I can talk about some things I've been involved in. One of them is Everyday Miracles, which is a program that provides doulas for low-income people at no cost, which I think can be transformative. There's a program called the ISIS Rising Prison Doula Program, which provides prenatal education and doulas to women who are incarcerated at the Shakopee Women's Prison. And now that program is broadening out into other jails across the state, which I think that is critical because incarcerated women are not supported. Before this doula program, we're not supported at all. The only people that were in the room with them while they were birthing were the prison guards and the medical staff. I think that program in particular can really make a critical difference in people's lives. And I just want to put it out there, I'm not Native. I'm a white anti-racist ally. And there are some people in the Twin Cities who are working on helping more midwives of color get training. And I think that that is critical. People like myself, our job right now is to be a placeholder and to try to help encourage and recruit women of color to become midwives. And I feel that for the most part, communities are best served by people from within those communities. There's a midwife in the Twin Cities in particular who's kind of leading this effort. Her name is Rebecca Polston.
Meg, do you want to tell us about the name of your service?
Yeah, my business is called Bea Luna Midwifery. You can check me out online, and I serve families within a two-hour radius of the Twin Cities.
Any last parting comments before we end the very first episode of All Our Babies on Niji Radio? Shannon.
Thank you so much. This has been an amazing experience. May you watch.
And Meg?
Thank you. It was awesome.